Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
We've got in the studio Stuart Maunder, who is the new artistic director of Victorian Opera. So welcome to the show, Stuart.
Hello, hello.
And now, just so we can, you know, we will be talking about, obviously, the next season for Victorian Opera. But firstly, let's get a little bit of background on you, because obviously you're new.
And
you said don't mention it, but we are happy birthday.
Thank you very much. 23rd
birthday, is that right?
The worst God thing to tell me. David is don't say
I'm a double Jesus this year, 66 right. I am, 66.
Well, and I hope you're happy, and thank you for coming in on your birthday.
Oh, delighted, so. Delighted.
Just to get a bit of background, how did you get started in the arts and specifically arts?
I always wanted to perform. What can I say? Black sheep of the family, country boy from northern New South Wales, always wanted to perform and went to university and at university was sort of bitten by the opera bug, really. So I saw my first one when I was
Do you remember what it was?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, no, I remember being almost physically dragged to the theatre. It was a film theatre by a friend who was a supernumerary, an actor in the operas, and it was Bergman. Version of the Magic Flute. And it was at the Mayfair Theatre, which my mother used to deposit me to babysit while Sound of Music was on, and she'd go to David Jones and buy. Can you believe that they did that? Put you in the upper circle and Bob's your uncle. It was the Mayfair Theatre in Sydney, and seriously, it was a Road to Damascus moment. It was one of those things where you thought, how can anything be this beautiful? And to cut a long story short, I joined Opera Australia. I was studying law and ditched that. And I...
your mum wouldn't have been happy about that.
No, do you know what? She wasn't. Dad says, let him do what he wants to do. But my mother, no, God rest her soul. She was the one who said, you know, are you sure about this? I joined Opera Australia as a stage manager in those sort of days when you learnt on the job, where you didn't have to go to university to study those crafts. And I did learn on the job, and eventually people asked me to be an assistant, and then they asked me to do my own shows, and the rest, as they say, is history. I've been doing this for the best part of 45 years.
Right, okay. Yeah. What drew you to Victoria Opera?
Look, I've worked a lot at VO. We're amongst friends. I've worked a lot with that company. They asked me to do what was originally a Sondheim trilogy, so I did Sunday in the Park with George, Into the Woods, and Sweeney Todd, and then that became a tetralogy, I think, a fourthology, whatever that is, with a little night music as well. And I've also done a thing called The Cunning Little Vixen, which was a gorgeous Janáček opera. Makes you feel great to be alive, that one. So I've always loved the fact that they're a bold company. They choose bold repertoire. They have an imprimatur to present the broadest range of music theatre. And, you know, as Richard Bonning, Joan Sutherland's husband and a great Australian conductor said, you know, operas are just old musicals. So basically their imprimatur is to do anything that entertains and is worthy. They're also the only opera company in Australia that is funded specifically to go out and proselytise with kids to get them into the theatre. So its education programs are funded.
Yep.
It also has a relationship with the Melbourne University through the conservatorium to develop what they call VO emergers, so emerging singers as well. So it's a very broad area, and that suits me because it just... You know,
it's all different areas, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, and what you've just explained there alone.
Yeah. And also one of the things that I'm not particularly used to because, again, it's very hard to find money to do it, but VO is, again, specifically funded to create new works. So each year one has to commission new opera and present that. And, I mean, that is a very, very rare thing because it's the most expensive thing a company touring is the most expensive thing a company can do. But the second most is creating new work. So all of those boxes are being ticked by VO, and really it was a fait accompli. I'd been working in Adelaide. I was the artistic director of State Opera South Australia, and that's a very fine company, very wonderful city. Loved every second of it. But it got to the stage where I thought, okay, what's the next challenge? And this came along, and lo and behold, here I am in this glorious day in Melbourne.
Yeah, and well, I'm originally from Adelaide, so like you said, the right things. But I left a long, long time ago.
Oh, it's a beautiful city.
But opera can be orchestras, like chorus. It's very, very expensive, and sets and costumes. Mm-hmm. So it's tough, isn't it, in this world?
Yeah, we have to find more and more clever ways of making the funding dollar go further. The reason we're expensive is because we employ a lot of people.
Mm.
And we take that very, very seriously at the company. It's not only about entertaining. It's about seeding the industry. It's about giving longevity to people in the industry. Yep. It's really, really important.
Yeah, and that's what people have got to remember when they're buying a ticket, that it's this spectacle that you're going to see when you go to the
opera. Exactly.
And all that auditions, rehearsals beforehand is long and tedious, isn't it?
You see, I don't find it tedious.
Well, no. Well, tedious but it's
long, And it's a huge human investment, of course. Look, the reality is also there's a view out there that opera is a very expensive art form. But you compare going to Paul McCartney, who's out here at the moment, or any major musical event.
Oh, they're not
cheap nowadays. No, and going to a musical as well. It's a very expensive thing.
Yep.
And for much the same reasons. But the thing I love about VO is it's all ploughed back into employing people. We're not there to make, that's why we called it a not-for-profit. It's absolutely there to employ people and take that very seriously.
And where do you perform it? Is it same place all the time?
Well, this is one of your problems in Melbourne, God love you, if we're going to talk about Melbourne now. And that's that the lack of venues here, especially now that the State Theatre is out of action for the next however many years. There are lots of theatres in Melbourne, been glorious in keeping the theatre heritage alive in this state, but there are so many musicals on. All of those theatres are blacked out for or lit up for musicals. So we tend to work at the Palais. We tend to work at the Playhouse at the Victorian Arts Centre. That's a glorious theatre for it. It's about 800 seats.
Yeah.
Very intimate space. And we're working at the Malthouse this year. Listen, we'll take anywhere that people want to play us. I have to say, I love your foyer today. I was looking at your foyer and thinking, there's got to be something down here in Joy FM.
I definitely think that stairwell is just spectacular.
Absolutely, and we don't have to spend a cent on the set because it's there already.
It's all there.
So, we'll look everywhere. You know, there are other opportunities there. Gasworks is a possibility as well. And we hope to get into some of the theatres in those little blocks in between two long-running musicals to try and get in. But half of the problem at the moment is because the State Theatre is under renovation. Opera Australia are out there looking for venues as well, and the Australian Ballet is out there looking for venues as well. So,
that's a tough time.
Yeah.
So what's on course for next year? It's just been announced?
It has just been announced, like every other company in Australia. It seems to have been launch week. Yeah, look, we're starting the year down at the Palais, interestingly, with a classic music theatre piece that every music theatre queen in Australia will be desperate to see, and that is Candide, Bernstein's Candide. This is a piece that premiered in the late 1950s on Broadway, and it was not a success originally for lots of different reasons.
Oh, okay.
But the overture kept that original cast album alive, and it's become a cult love.
Yeah.
And it is the most glorious Bernstein score. It combines music theatre, classical music as well. We have an extraordinary cast led by Eddie Perfect as Dr. Pangloss, Linton Watts, a wonderful young Australian opera singer called Catherine Allen, who's strutting her stuff over in Europe. That's one of the other things we're desperate to do at VO is to... Nobody believes that Australians can stay here and have a sustainable opera career. You've almost got to go overseas. Yep. And our job is to bring those people back, to actually let them perform for their Australian audiences.
And Stuart, the thing is with opera and a lot of the big theatre these days as well, is that you're working so far in advance, like getting the people. How far advance are you working?
Well, with something like Candide, it's good because it's on in February of next year. So we're close enough to be able to nobble people like Eddie Perfect and
He lives here, so
there you go. But, you know, he's pretty busy doing his Beetlejuice coming up. Yeah.
Coming up.
So there's a lot going on. But another cast member is glorious Maria Mercedes playing, I'm allowed to call her the old lady because that's indeed what the role is. But Maria Mercedes, the most elegant old lady in the world, probably. But so we're able to nobble an extraordinary cast to get together for that particular season. something like Sweeney Todd, which we're doing a revival of in September. That was the production that I did way back in 2015. But so far that's been to, God, all over New Zealand. It's been to Perth. It's been to Adelaide. It's just done a triumphant Sydney season down at the Drama Theatre. And we will get together a glorious cast for that. But it's just a bit early
to
for
announce.
Them all. Well, yep. Not only to announce, to actually get people to commit that far in advance. Yep. So that's on in September of next year, and there'll be a separate launch for that. Our Lynch, sort of the middle grand opera, is a wonderful Puccini piece. Puccini, his little known but glorious piece called La Rondine, which is just a celebration of young love. He wrote it as a commission, as an operetta for Vienna, and then never sort of coped with the idea of spoken dialogue and all the rest of it. So it's still a huge Puccini emotional spectacular, really. But it's also got a Viennese operettery feel in that it's got huge waltzes, and the entire thing has these musical set pieces that just a zing. And again, we're bringing two glorious young Australians back, Keandra Howarth, who's currently on salary in Hanover, to come back to perform the role, and a wonderful Chinese Australian called Kang Wang, who is one of those people that walks on a stage and every person in the audience just melts their heart. He's the most glorious matinee idol of a gent. That's at the Palais as well, big piece. And there's
the
also
new piece.
My new piece. Well, our new piece. How grand is that, Stuart? Our new piece is a co-production between Opera Australia and the Perth Festival and the Brisbane Festival. It's of a new work by Sir Jonathan Mills, Australian composer, called Eucalyptus, based on the Murray Bale story. This wonderful Australian modern fairy tale. And it's haunting, it's very romantic, but it's also a challenging and incredibly beautiful in its sort of depiction of the hushed tones of eucalyptus forests. It's hard to explain, but it's...
And has it played anywhere yet?
No, not at all. So what happens is it does a very much an out-of-town triad in a concert version in Perth for the Perth Festival, and then we'll rehearse it here, take it up to the Brisbane Festival, and then bring it back to perform it here in a co-production with Opera Australia. The commission's been around for a while, but no, it's not received a performance as yet. So look, who knows? I mean, it was originally commissioned by both companies when I used to work for Opera Australia. That was a long time ago. And then successive artistic directors come through, the piece isn't finished. It then does a workshop it's done workshops in America, it's done workshops at Scotland. And it just seemed the right time for us to present this work. It's a very heartfelt and important elegiac sort of work. Interesting. I have a particular love for operas that have had one or two performances and then sunk into oblivion, usually because we, in our zeal to create new works, as soon as they're on, you think, okay, let's move on to the next one. And there's an Australian composer called Malcolm Williamson, beautiful, used to be Master of the Queen's Music in England, mainly working through the 60s and 70s, really. He wrote a very bizarre, zany piece called English Eccentrics, which is the piece that we're doing in collaboration with the youth work, the VO Emerges. And I defy people not to come that and find it the most bizarre, funny, moving experience. It has, you know, things like Beau Brummel, you meet at his height of dandyhood at the beginning of the 19th century, and then you see him 40 years later in his dotage when the poor man is playing whist with imaginary characters from the past, and he's eventually carried off to an insane asylum. It's very,
you can understand why it hasn't reared its head very much.
No,
can't
look,
you?
Stuart has been a huge advocate of the piece, and I've directed it twice.
Right,
now.
Okay.
It's just perfect in that it gives younger singers a great chance to strut their stuff, and it's silly and it's moving.
Fascinating. But I find that a lot of people come onto the show, theatre pieces or opera or whatever, and you think, well, where's it going next? And they go, oh, we don't know. We're not sure if it'll go anywhere. And I feel for them all this time and effort, and you go, oh, gosh, I hope it doesn't just end here.
Well, I think we all try to talk and get co-productions and so forth. And we will. As I said, the Sweeney that we're seeing again next year has literally gone everywhere except Brisbane. I don't know what that's about. But anyway, moving on. But it's gone everywhere. And that's been a great there will never be a money spinner because it costs so much to put on, just again, because there are so many people in it. But we hope Rondinet will go elsewhere. We hope, well, certainly the Eucalyptus is travelling. So.
Well, and that's exciting, the fact, Australian piece and the word Eucalyptus as well. And it's travelling. It's lovely to hear.
It is. And look, I think one of the other things that's probably most interesting about the piece is that Jonathan Mills, who's this incredible Renaissance man who for many years headed the Edinburgh Festival. He was knighted for heading the Edinburgh Festival, you know, inherited it at a time where they didn't have a brass farthing and, you know, left it in an extremely fine financial state. He's an incredible arts administrator and a maverick, really. But and he is a composer, has, I remember way back in the, oh God, in the early 2000s, in the early noughties, he did a piece called The Ghost Wife, which was a very, again, haunting use of the Australian outback about a man and a woman in the Australian outback. That went to London. He's also done a piece called The Eternity Man, which is based on that man who walked around in Sydney writing the word eternity on it. Which is a bizarre piece that's had quite a history and was on television. And if anybody can open doors to the international community, Jonathan can.
Fantastic. So how can we find out all about this? Is there a website?
There is a website, Victorian Opera, strange enough, victorianopera.com.au.
Right.
And you can go on the website and find out more about the pieces. We've also got a glorious team who are doing the subscriptions at the moment who can discuss the pieces and where they lock. But one thing you asked me at the very, very beginning of this conversation, what I loved about VO, and the thing I love about it, it's a brand that we'd love people to trust because we will give you bizarre experiences sometimes. Mm. The other night at a wonderful First Nations piece, that's another thing. We're doing a wonderful kids piece by Deborah Cheatham called Parwang Lifts the Sky, which again has performances for adults as well. It's a really joyous retelling of the creation legend, you know, bringing this magpie that lifts the sky. Wonderful piece. But most recently, we've been performing a thing called The Visitors, which is about the landing at Sydney Cove in 1788. And one person that I met at the interval said that they loved coming to VO because you always knew it would be interesting and challenging and strange and surprising.
Yeah, so, brilliant. Yeah. Well, lovely meeting you and congratulations on the role and happy birthday. and we'll see you at the opera next year.
Thank you very much. We look forward to it.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Stuart Maunder here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.